Welcome to Les Kelly's Britain. Hello, everyone. I'm Les Kelly. Yes, Radio 4 listeners, this is a completely new programme. Some of you are just a little bit scared. Perhaps you're even thinking of calling the police. A new programme has just forced its way into my radio station. Please help. I live alone. Be calm. I'll come in peace. We'll form a bond of trust and mutual respect. I'll get to know you. You'll get to know me. And, sorry, hello? Yes? Yep. So Viv, my producer's telling me through my earpiece that we already have 9 complaints. Yeah, OK, here's one. An email from Margaret Dines of Kent. Dear Radio 4, I am disgusted by Les Kelly's Britain. The young person introducing the show said the word Kelly's and it sounded as if he wasn't using an apostrophe. Pull your socks up, BBC. Point taken. This show is all about Britain today. Britain has been under siege, phone hacking, expense scandals and riots. When I saw disorder breaking out in my neighbourhood, I didn't just sit and watch. I did something. I got up off my backside. I moved to a different area. You see, I care about Britain. I have a message for people who don't care, all right? If you don't care, then I don't care about you. If you don't care that I don't care about you, then I don't care. Message over. Time to meet someone who needs your help. Let's see how much you care. Jeff Stevens.
Hello.
Welcome to Les Kelly's Britain. I'm Les Kelly. Jeff, tell us what you need.
Well, Les, it's my daughter, Danny.
With an I.
That's right. She needs help, and I was hoping one of your listeners may be able to step up to the plate.
Plate?
It's a baseball expression.
Right, OK.
The plate, it's a bit like the hockey in cricket, only it's... it's kind of round, you know, and you can also use it for eating.
Right, tell us about Danny with an I, OK? She has a serious problem.
She needs a kidney.
That's serious.
Yes, it's pretty urgent.
Yeah, fill us in on the background.
Well, we're a pretty normal family. Danny's a very normal kid.
Yeah, we like normal families on this show. Yeah, I'd like to see every family in Britain be normal. In fact, this is the only BBC programme that is aimed at normal, decent people. Carry on.
Thanks. Danny never wants for anything. She goes to a school where all the parents have 2 cars, computer games, all the latest designer label clothes, the right trainers, the latest phone and hairstyles.
So far, so good.
Anyway, Christmas isn't too far away and she's keen to get this new kidney.
Right, so how long has she been ill?
She's not ill.
Right, so it was something she was born with?
No, as far as I know, she has a very healthy renal system, no problems at all.
How many kidneys does Danny have now?
Just the 2.
2. How many is she aiming to have?
She just wants to have 1 more than her friend Hermione.
Just 1 more?
1 more would be ample. Right. My question to you, Les, is can your listeners help?
My researcher, Rowan, told me that Danny actually needs a kidney.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, but she's not going to die, is she?
She is. She said if she didn't get one this Christmas, she would literally die.
Right. The thing is, Jeff, is that we did actually have a donor for Danny standing by in the audience here. It was going to be a surprise, and it was going to be very moving.
Oh, that is wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, he was going to pop up, and he was going to say, have my kidney, but we're not going to do that now, because he's absolutely...
Have my kidney!
No, no. Sit down, Colin. No. No one in their right mind is going to donate a kidney to Danny. She already has 2 healthy ones.
No, I really don't mind. I want to do this for the child.
No, Colin, please, sit down. Look. We also had a surgeon standing by, Dr. Howard.
Here I am. It's actually Ms. Howard. Surgeons tend to be called Mr. or Ms.
What about doctors, then?
Scum.
Obviously, you would not recommend surgery for Danny.
Well, it could be the first organ transplanted into a perfectly healthy person, and I would be on television.
This is not going to happen.
You can't stop us.
Shut up,
you.
Come on, he wants to do it, Les. He wants to do it.
No. Listen, I just wanted to do something for someone else.
Yeah.
You know, my whole life has been completely and utterly selfish. It's all me, me, me. I just sit around drinking beer, eating takeaways, looking at porn on the internet.
Colin.
The only time I ever go out is when there's a vote at the House of Commons.
Please. We can't do this. It's against medical ethics. Yeah, and it's probably against the BBC guidelines.
Well, what does the audience think? Shall we do it?
Come on, you want me to...
Can we do it for Danny?
No, listen, I don't care, Jeff. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say no to a kidney as a Christmas present, all right?
What about a cornea, then, just as a stocking filler?
No, stop it, please. Round of applause for Jeff,
come on,
please.
No,
that's
anything.
Enough.
An eyeball.
No, you've
an
said
eyeball.
Enough, please. You're putting
she
me off my dinner.
Eyeball.
Stop it.
Colin's
Jeff,
eyeball.
Stop it.
This is a message for the BBC. Are you listening, BBC? I watched a programme on television the other day. It was supposed to be a comedy programme. I emphasised the word supposed. But to my dismay, I discovered that they were making light of a very serious issue. Falling over. Look, now, I happen to have a cousin who is now in a wheelchair because he fell from a height. So I wrote to the comedians, care of the BBC, Dear Messrs Chuckle... I suspect it's not... It's probably not even their real names. My cousin injured himself falling over whilst moving furniture. It is no laughing matter. You should be ashamed. Yours sincerely, Les Kelly of Les Kelly's Britain. Now then, I have a message for comedians. If you're a comedian, stop making light of things. If something's funny to begin with, fine. But if it's not funny and you make it funny with words... then that's wrong. Message over. Right, I'm going to ask some people in the audience a straightforward question, all right? What is the world coming to? You.
Horrible, horrible place.
Horrible place, isn't it? Yeah, scary.
Full of people who can't spell.
Full of people that can't spell?
Yeah.
Have you met many people today that can't spell?
I can't even count how many.
It freaks me out.
Because I can't count.
And you can't count, so you,
but I can
you
spell.
Can't count. So you can't count, and you've got a thing about people who can't spell.
Yeah, that's horrible.
All right, OK. A little bit hypocritical. What about you, sir? What's the world coming to?
The world is coming to just food and wastage of food.
Food and wastage of food?
Wastage of food.
What sort
and
of food are you
savings,
wasting?
Lots of savings. Do the savings and wastage of food.
OK. Are you a food wastage expert?
Well, we eat food all the time.
Yeah.
Even if you don't need it. Even if you've got a beer belly, still you're eating.
Right, okay. So...
what is this world coming to? I'm asking you.
All right, food wastage, basically. That's what you think. All right, okay, it's a little bit ambiguous, but I'm with you. All right, okay. Eat it all. That's what I say. Or feed it to the dog.
Give the food to the aliens.
Give it to the aliens. Are you a regular BBC audience member? Security. Les Kelly's Britain is a show that makes a difference. We want to change people's lives. I go into the community and find someone who needs help, and then I help them with a check. So the next section I've called Secret Money Man. I went out to a poor area of Britain and posed as someone making a documentary about hospitals. Here I am in St Bernard's Hospital, and I have with me a nurse, Marjorie.
Hello, Les. It's been great having you here today.
That's fantastic. You know, I think you nurses do a really fantastic job.
Oh.
Yeah, apart from the ones who leave old people to soil themselves in corridors. What ward do you work on, my love?
I work in the CAT scanning department.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, a little birdie tells me that the rockery outside, it needs a little bit of TLC.
Does it?
Yeah, you said that earlier in the day you said that.
Did I? Oh.
Also, my researcher Rowan came last week and in the way in you said that the rockery could do with some TLC.
I don't really remember, but anyway, we really need a new CAT scanner. Each one costs about £2 million.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll just leave the CAT scanner for a moment and just think about the rockery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a little surprise for you,
okay.
My dear. Marjorie, what if I were to tell you that... Sorry, love, what are you crying for?
I think I know what you're going to say, that you're a secret millionaire.
What? No, I'm sorry. A secret money man. Yeah, it's a completely different idea, and it doesn't infringe their copyright. Okay.
I can't believe it. So there is hope for a new CAT scanner.
Look, Marjorie, you've got to concentrate on the rockery.
What rockery?
Right? The rockery outside there, the one that you said needed some TLC, that rockery.
Oh, that, yeah.
Marjorie, I have a check here.
I don't know what to say. I'm overwhelmed. A check for a new scanner.
Look, you've got to forget the scanner. Right? Forget about that. and think about the rockery.
Why?
Look, look, just have a look at the cheque, will you?
Oh, I'm all a quiver. Really, I'm filling up.
What does it say on the cheque?
£120,000. Well, it won't buy us a scanner, but it will help. So thank you so much, Liz.
No, sorry, look, that's not £120,000. Those noughts there, they're pence. It'd be 120, look, then two zeros after the dot.
So that would only make it £120?
Yeah, it's for some bulbs and compost.
Compost? What for?
For the rockery, the rockery.
What rockery?
The rockery, that rockery, that rockery there, the one that you said you desperately needed attention or the patients would die.
I'll be honest with you, Les, I've spent quite a lot of time with you in your programme thinking you were a secret millionaire. It was time I could have been helping patients. I expect a little bit more than £100.
Well, it is a bit more. It's £120.
Well, I told some of the staff as well. They're all waiting in the other room with a big cake for you. Oh, we'll have to go and break the news. Come on.
Look, we don't really have to do that, do we? Can we...
Oh. Liz right. Kelly, everyone.
Hey! Three cheers for Liz Kelly.
Hey! No, sorry, everyone, stop. We've been had.
You've not been had. I gave Marge a cheque for £120.
Rubbish.
Look, I'm going to edit all this out anyway. Look, if you want to keep the cheque, you'll have to sound a little bit more grateful.
What do you want me to say? Oh, £120, that's so generous. I'm overwhelmed.
Ha, well, you just did. So, you know, I'll just get Rowan to cut round the rest and we'll leave that, so...
Well, they'll know it's meant ironically.
Look, Radio 4 listeners don't get irony. Actually, nor do I. What is it?
Never mind.
Actually, Marge and everyone, look, I'll let you into another secret. Not only do you have a cheque for £120, but Les Kelly's Britain has also laid on a gardener and builder extraordinaire. His name's Paddy O'Connor. Paddy, come and meet Marge. Come on, Paddy.
Hello, Margie. Top of the morning to you.
Hello, Paddy.
Paddy.
Yes, my fine fella.
So, do you mind if we don't call you Paddy?
Why would that be done?
Well, it just sounds a bit stereotypical.
But that's my name, Paddy O'Connor.
Yeah, I know it's your name, but it just sounds a bit, you know, Irish. Our builder called Paddy, you know, we get complaints. Just for the show, can we call you something else?
Well, you've already called me Paddy.
Yeah, but this will all be edited. So, all right, Bill, meet Marge.
Hello, Bill.
Top of the morning to you.
Yeah, and if you cannot say things like that, well...
Top of the morning.
Yeah, it's just a bit stereotypical. Listeners will complain.
Can I just have a little sit down there and take the weight off my old shillelagh?
You actually have a shillelagh.
It's a lovely shillelagh. Absolutely lovely.
Look, please don't mention the shillelagh again. Okay, now, Paddy, a bit Bill, rather. Look, how would you feel about building a CAT scan for Marjorie?
What?
Well, no, a CAT scanner, would that be for looking inside the brain and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have to be a big one.
I really don't think that Paddy is qualified to build a CAT...
I'm willing to give it a go.
Yeah, that's the sort of spirit I like. True British spirit from Ireland.
Andy, you want me to replant the rockery, or can that wait?
Yeah, that can wait. Look, maybe just a few daffs. Look, now, what equipment will you need for the CAT scan?
Well, I need a wheelbarrow.
Done.
A spade.
Done. How long will it take?
Well, I've got a few other jobs on, but, you know, maybe a week or two.
Oh, this is absolutely ridiculous. Right, I can't
don't
believe
be negative.
This is...
Look, what happened to the Dunkirk spirit?
Paddy cannot build a CAT scanner.
Look, I know it sounds impossible, but I think he can.
How?
This is a magazine show, and I have never seen a challenge that has not been met on any TV or radio show
you
ever.
You have wasted my time all day long. Do you know that? I think
that was something that we recorded last week. Actually, sorry, Viv. That's Viv, my producer. Viv, I thought Rowan was going to edit all that stuff out. Yeah, I thought he was going to cut all the offensive shillelagh stuff from the Paddy. But not the Paddy, Paddy. Bill the Paddy. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to see how Bill Paddy got on with making a CAT scan later in the show. Now, healthcare in Britain today, first of all, I would like to say nurses... are kind and wonderful people, all right? I hurt my back a few years ago and I found a nurse in a newsagent's window. It wasn't an ad, she was just sitting in the window. There was nothing Sister Busty would not do for me. But not everyone in the health service is as caring, okay? Now I want you to meet Wendy Hooper. Wendy, you went to see your GP about a mystery illness.
Yes, Liz, but the doctor couldn't find anything wrong.
So, you went to see another doctor?
Yes, Liz, and I'm afraid it was much the same story, said there was nothing wrong.
But you didn't give up?
No, I went to another doctor who took the whole thing really seriously and seemed to know a lot more about it.
And he said?
There's nothing wrong with you.
But you persevered, you went to another doctor, Dr. Stevens, a specialist who gave you a complete physical with blood tests and an innovative new diagnostic approach.
Yes, and there was light at the end of the tunnel.
Dr. Stevens is actually with us in the audience. Now, tell us what Dr. Stevens found.
Well, he said there was nothing wrong with me.
Right.
So I went to another doctor.
No, so hang on. Why did we invite Dr. Stevens?
Yeah, can I go?
Yeah. That's fine, off you go. I don't even know why you're here, to be honest. What happened next?
Yes, so I went to see another doctor.
Yeah, bearing in mind, love, this is a half-hour programme, all right?
Sorry, will someone unhook my radio mic?
Yeah, sorry, could someone unhook Dr. Stevens' mic, please, Viv? Yep.
Thank you. So do I go out that way?
Yes, yep.
It says fire exit.
No, I know, you can still go out that way, yeah. Though. You just go up there, that's it, yeah.
So, I tried the holistic approach next. I went to a well-known homeopath.
And they said,
there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
So, as a last resort...
Yeah, let's just cut to the one who found something wrong.
Well, it's quite complicated.
Right, you saw some bad doctors. The listeners at home are waiting for the good doctor to appear in the story, OK? Look, usually, we work to a rule of three. Two bad and the good one. All right.
Well, I don't care. This is my story.
Look, it's not going anywhere. There's no build, no suspense. You can't just throw in a few surprises for the hell of it and make something up. No. Go on.
Right. So I went to see another doctor, one specialising in mystery diseases.
Who at last diagnosed...
No, he accused me of being a nuisance. And then I went to...
Never mind all that. Doctor. Let's just see if one of our Radio 4 doctors can help. Here's Dr. Legg, not the EastEnders one.
It's nice to meet you, Wendy. Can you describe your symptoms?
Well, Doctor, do you know that song, I Know Him So Well?
Yes, it's from Chess.
Yes. Nothing is so good, it lasts eternally. Perfect situations must go wrong, but this has never yet prevented
Yeah, all right, love, we've got that. Thank you.
Wanting.
Yeah,
no, yes, well,
yeah.
You know how sometimes you can't get a tune out of your head?
Yes, it's quite annoying.
Well, that's been stuck in my head. For 8 years.
8 years? 8 years?
Yes.
That is a long time. When you think about it, that's almost 9 years.
Yeah, I know. And I don't even like it.
Right, Dr. Legg, can a song be surgically removed from the brain?
I'm not a surgeon.
Well, what's your guess?
It's not my area.
Guess anyway.
You want me to guess without professional authority, expertise or experience?
Yeah. Why not?
OK. It might be able to be removed, but it would probably depend on what the song was, where it was in the brain, and what other songs were there.
Right.
Let's say you had I Will Always Love You right at the front. Now, that might be easy, but if it was lodged behind Bohemian Rhapsody, that might be tricky. But that's just a guess.
Would you be able to put Wendy in touch with a song-removing surgeon?
I'll see what I can do.
Wendy, will you come back next week and let us know how you got on?
Actually,
right. Can you just send us a text? A short one.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Round of applause for Wendy. You're listening to Les Kelly's Britain. Now, there is something I want to say before moving on. I want to talk about the elephant in the room. Yes, there are rumours, tittle-tattle on the internet, that my wife is seeing another man. They've been photographed together. Well, the man in question is Carlos. Now, I know Carlos won't mind me saying this. Carlos is a gay. Yeah, he and my wife Miriam do gay things together, OK? Like, they go to musical theatre, have dinner, talk. And my wife says that with a gay man, she can talk about stuff that I'm not interested in, you know, such as films, books and life in general. And also sport. Yeah, no, I know, I didn't know that sport was a gay thing, but apparently it is now, so, you know... So not an affair, OK? Not a romance. Simply a friendship with a gay man. So, Mr. Elephant in the Room, consider yourself seen, spotted, stalked, shot, and your tusks removed. Message over. We've all heard of hate crime. Road rage, happy slapping, rage hate, planking... Hate planking, plank slapping, and most disturbing of all, happy plank hating. But what's next? With me to discuss the new danger to our young people is Kirsty Travis. Kirsty, welcome to Les Kelly's Britain. I'm Les Kelly. So, tell us about the new fad, the new craze.
We don't know a great deal about it.
It's so new, You heard it here first. Has it got a name?
We think it might be called sanglanding.
Stanganding.
Sanglanding.
Sandanging.
Sanglanding.
Stanglanding.
San.
San.
Glan.
Standing.
Sanglanding.
Glan standing. San. Standing. What does it mean?
Well, we don't know. We don't even know if it's called that, but someone on Twitter thinks it might be.
Well, what does it involve?
The really worrying thing is, Les, we don't even know what it is.
So, something lurking in the sphere of the unknown. How dangerous is it?
It may be very dangerous, but since we don't know what it is, it's quite hard to tell.
Right, okay. So from one, meaning not dangerous,
yep,
to 10, meaning instant death. How risky is pan standing?
Sanglanding. Well, we don't know, Les. It might not even be a number. It might be a letter.
So it's completely unknown danger. That's even more dangerous than if we knew how dangerous it actually was.
Quite possibly.
It could be right off the scale.
Yeah.
Have you seen someone do it? Stan a gland?
We've never seen anyone sanglanding, so it's probably done secretly.
Where does sanglanding happen?
We think it happens in the community.
In the community?
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's where I live. And who does it?
Well, it could be anyone. It could be your next-door neighbour, your son or daughter, or your wife or your husband.
So there could be mums and dads wondering if their children, if they have any, are pan-glanding.
Sanglanding.
Yeah, sanglanding, right, in secret. How can they spot the telltale signs?
We don't know. Sanglanding might make people more listless.
Listless.
Mm-hmm. Or more energetic.
All right, are there any other signs?
Yeah, we think anyone sanglanding would probably try to act normally.
Right, okay, so can people catch it from the internet?
It's possible.
What if, okay, and this is a scary thought.
Yeah.
What if you or me is a sanglander without even knowing it? Is that possible? Is that conceivable?
It's possible.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
I'm terrified. Okay, audience, I'm throwing this out, okay? Do you have a son or daughter you suspect of...
Kelly,
I beg your pardon, sorry.
This is just scaremongering and you have no reason to think that sanglanding even exists, so...
Yeah, well, you don't exist.
What?
Yeah, you don't exist.
Well, I clearly do, so...
Yeah, I might be mad in imagining you.
Then why are you talking to me?
Or maybe you're a sand panderer.
Yeah. Sanglander.
Yeah, she could be someone who panders to sanglanders, a sanglander panderer. Yeah. Or you could be sanglanding now. Yeah, could she be sanglanding now?
Yeah, it's possible.
Right, okay. We're going to move on. Audience, do not go near this woman, all right? If you do not want to... Sanglanding.
Sanglanding.
Right? Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Kirsty, Travis. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirsty, Travis. Brilliant. You're listening to Les Kelly's Britain. Now, I've always believed in the family. The family is the backbone of my moral stopwatch. My wife and I have been together for 7 years, and I've never strayed. Never even been tempted. Miriam strayed once, but that was with an Italian, OK? You know, if an Englishwoman sleeps with an Italian, it's just a cry for help. But sometimes, listeners, families break up. Siblings are separated. And one such sibling is my guest now, Alice Fort. Welcome to Les Kelly's Britain. I'm Les Kelly.
Hello, Les.
So, you have a brother you haven't seen for 10 years. Tell us what happened.
Well, we lived together in the family house until I was about 16.
Then what?
Well, we were packing one day to go to Madrid.
That's in Spain.
Yeah, and Kevin, who was only 2, crawled into one of the suitcases, the one that also had my foot spa, one I got for my 16th birthday, and no one noticed. And well, he was checked in at the airport, everything went fine.
What happened when he got to Madrid?
Well, tragically, one of the suitcases went to the wrong destination.
The one that Kevin was in.
Have you heard this story before?
No, I was just guessing, because... So it's like you lost Kevin.
Yes, the suitcase with Kevin and my foot spa was missing.
Right, now then, Alice, now, how pleased would you be if we were to suddenly, by some miracle, meet Kevin again after all these years?
Well, it would be incredible. And if he had the foot spa with him, that would be amazing.
Yeah, all right. Well, what would you say to your brother if you could see him now?
Well, I think I'd just cry and give him a big hug and say, Have you got that foot spa?
Yeah, but it's not really about the foot spa.
No, 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 not at all. I only mention it in passing.
What if I was to tell you?
It's just that... I only used it the once, you see, and presents like that are important at that age.
Yeah, okay. I want you to think about Kevin.
Yes,
because
sorry,
Alice,
yeah.
What if I were to tell you that Kevin might, just might, be in this studio as we speak?
Oh, that would be amazing. I wouldn't mention the foot spa right away. You know, I'd give him a hug.
Yeah, let's leave the foot spa.
No, I'm not
right?
obsessing about the foot spa.
Okay.
It would just be the cream on the cake.
Right, time to meet your long-lost brother. Alice, Kevin, come and meet your sister.
Why do you keep going on about the foot spa?
I mentioned it twice.
Four times!
All right, OK, just forget about the foot spa, please.
But since you brought it up, where... Where is the foot spa?
I don't know!
Excuse me?
Yeah, OK, man in the front row, what is it? Oh, God, it's Colin again. Right, so what is it?
Well, since Martha, her kidney was shunned, I thought I'd step in and say, I have a foot spa I don't use. You can have it!
Oh, thank
no,
you!
No, don't waste it on her. Actually, Alice, I do have your foot spa. It's in this bag, but you're not getting it!
Sorry, could you continue this backstage, if
I'll
possible?
I'll tell you what... Here's your sodding foot spa, but you won't see me again.
I don't want to see you again.
Okay,
fuck
come
that
on.
Foot spa.
Shut
I'm
up, Colin.
Good anyway.
It's my
I've got
to give
one.
Something back.
I don't need
okay,
to.
Okay, right. Round of applause for the United Siblings.
Yeah,
thank you. What a lovely story. We've reached the end of the show, listeners.
Aww.
Bless you. Before I go, I just want to say I could not do this show without my team, producer Viv and my researcher Rowan. 90% of the credit goes to them. Sorry, just a sec. That's Viv talking to me. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Right. That's the general feeling, is it? Okay. 95% of the credit goes to them.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
excuse
well, yeah me. Sorry, man in front row.
Yeah, since that lady came on to talk about that song in her head...
Yeah.
Well, it's it's in my head too.
Me too.
And wasn't it good?
Yeah, right, OK.
Wasn't it fine?
Sorry, Dr. Lair, can songs be contagious?
I don't know anything at all about the subject.
But just guess.
My answer would be yes, definitely, we could have an epidemic on
oh,
our
goodness,
hands.
Oh, goodness, the entire audience is singing a song from Chess, Viv. Can we call 999? This is a song in the head emergency. Now, cue the announcer!
That was Les Kelly's Britain, starring Kevin Bishop as Les Kelly with David Arnott, Margaret Caborn-Smith, Pippa Evans and Alan Francis. It was written and produced by Bill...